Hello and welcome to Experience Easter, a Resurrection Sunday word from Pastor Luke Harris here at Empower Church.
I want to welcome you to Resurrection Sunday. What a brilliant and powerful opportunity that we have to be able to come together as a family of faith and celebrate together the amazing goodness of God in Jesus. So happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter from myself and Pastor Emma and the whole team here at Empower Church. We're absolutely thrilled to have you here in this house today. You're most welcome here. And I reckon we're going to have a great time around the Word of God. Before we get into the message today, I just thought I'd spend a little bit of time just explaining our rationale here at Empower Church, because we do things perhaps a little different from what you might have experienced in other church services over the years. And what I mean by that is Empower Church is not only an identity statement, it's also a mission statement. We want to be both by name and by nature a people that empower others to discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill their destiny. That's the why for everything that we do as a church, which means that we have you in mind when it comes to the Easter story, your discovery, your discipleship, your destiny, because we're convinced from the scriptures that God cares about you. He loves you. He cares about your heart and your life and your future and your eternity. And I know that there might be some churches in our area that perhaps just go through the motions of a religious service following the same liturgy that they've done for decades or even centuries, but that's not us today. We're doing all that we can to be able to empower people to discover Jesus in a great way, because religion just doesn't cut it. En masse, our nation is turning its back on religion and walking away because Aussies aren't interested in something powerless and pious. It is okay to say amen there. What they want is something real, something raw, something relational. And so our goal this morning is to not just have you experience a religious thing, but rather to experience a relationship thing. Because relationships change us. Relationships affect us. Relationships are as real and raw as life gets. And that's honestly the desire of our God's heart this morning. He is a relational God. He refers to himself as God the Father, who so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a relational statement right there. That's our God, a loving Father who is inviting everybody in this place into a real, risky, radical, and revolutionary love relationship with himself. I'm not meaning to in any way undermine what other churches are doing. I'm simply stating this is who we are, and this is our rationale, and this is what we're going to do this morning, because our prayer today is that we would together experience Easter personally and powerfully. As we share this message today, it's not just a review of history, because seriously, if that's all that we're doing today, let's just pack it up and enjoy the Easter show, because history is not going to cut it. People are en masse not interested in looking back at something that's past its use-by date. We need something radical and raw and revolutionary that's going to touch and change and minister to the lives of people today in 2019. Is that okay this morning? Instead of just reviewing history, we're instead going to be looking at his story and how his story is meant to intercept and interrupt and intervene in our story. Because then we'll have the potential of transformation that can take place in human hearts today. Because that's what Easter is supposed to be. That's what Resurrection Sunday is supposed to be. Not just something that we mentally acknowledge happened years ago, but rather something that we encounter personally at the heart level, experiencing where humanity encounters heaven in a real and life-transforming way. So I want to urge you today, as we open up the scriptures, to close the gap. And what I mean by that is close the gap on 2,000 years. Close the gap on ancient Israel versus modern Australia. Close the gap of language and geography and time, and let all of that be transcended through story. His story, their story, and our story this morning. And perhaps together we could experience Easter in a fresh way, a personal and powerful way that affects our lives forever. Speaking of transformation, the Apostle Paul, this guy was the original Antichrist when he was named Saul. He was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. But then he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus and was completely changed. And later, he wrote about experiencing Easter in this way. Colossians chapter 3, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." 1 Corinthians 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Romans 8:11, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." He will give us life. Ephesians 2, "But because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace we've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Oh, check it out. These are the words of someone who believed that Jesus' resurrection was not just an isolated historical fact that we should religiously come out and observe once a year at a nice service to ease our conscience a little. These are the words of someone who believed that Christ's resurrection was something that could be and should be personally and powerfully experienced by every human heart, and that should profoundly affect the trajectory and altitude of our everyday lives. God's resurrection power in Christ is meant to raise you and I as well. We're talking about today the greatest comeback in human history. And because our unstoppable God, as we were singing this morning, has risen and overcome, he wants to impart his risenness, his power, his triumph, his victory into your and my life today. Meaning that if you walked into this place discouraged and depressed, you don't have to walk out that way this morning. Something of his transformative power can come around your life today. He wants to put his resurrection power on the inside of us and help us to see that just as he has overcome, so too can we, his people, his sons and daughters, overcome whatever obstacles life might throw our way. Is that good news this morning or what? Jesus' resurrection is the greatest comeback story of all time, which means that it gets down into the nitty-gritty of the worst of our human experience in order to bring us good news, even in that dark space. Even when we're experiencing the worst of life, it's not over. If Jesus can come back, then so can we. There's a reason that some 2 billion Christians congregate worldwide on this sacred Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And the reason is this: Jesus' resurrection power has good news application for our lives. I want us to make our way through the 4 Gospels this morning and have a look at his story and how it can intervene and intercept our story. Matthew 27, the burial of Jesus. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb where he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. That, my friends, is a picture of despair. These 2 precious women who used to follow Jesus, who used to tend to his needs, who used to have a sense of purpose and mission, and who were actively involved in the ministry of Jesus, are now sitting there opposite the tomb. With him died their purpose. With him died their mission. With him died their elevated sense of dignity and destiny. The way that Jesus treated and empowered women was an extraordinary thing, a revolutionary thing for his time. But now they're sitting there opposite the tomb. The action is gone. The activity is gone. The sense of adventure is gone. There's no motion, no momentum, no ministry. Just sitting there opposite the tomb. The good news for you and I as Christians is that despair need only ever be temporary for those of us that are in Christ. It need not ever be a permanent destination. It may be a place that we sit in momentarily, but it is never a place of permanent occupancy for those of us that are in Christ. Because Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. And we too can come back from despair. Matthew 28, Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, the same 2 women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Who knows, that's a big deal for hardened Roman soldiers to fall down on the ground shaking. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." That day of despair was not permanent. Christ returned from the grave with a message of hope for these women and sent them forth as his emissaries, as his missionaries, as his spokespeople, as his preachers. Let my disciples know, girls, it's not over. I'm back and you're back as well. That my resurrection power is here. That which you saw of the kingdom of God, it's going to be restored once again and in an even greater way. He always has a comeback plan in mind for our lives. So today we can be reassured that because of Christ's resurrection, we can come back from despair. Moving on to Mark's gospel, it also records that an angel appears to the women on the first day of the week. However, I want you to note one tiny variance in Mark's gospel about the angel's message. Here it is. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Two little words. Could very easily miss them. But they are of great significance. And Peter. What is it that's going on here? Well, we know that Peter fell and he fell hard. If anybody's going to stuff it up properly, it's Peter. He's the apostle that gives the rest of us hope. If he can make it, then we can make it too. He'd fallen hard. He'd been absolutely defeated by the night of Jesus' arrest. Not only did he respond in that moment with violence and lob off a soldier's ear, he also swore and denied even knowing Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. I suppose if you're going to do it, you're going to do it properly. He messed it up big time. And that was after he had emphatically vowed, "I will never leave you, Jesus. They could kill me. They could do whatever. You and me to the end." And a few hours later, "I've never seen him before in my life. I have no idea who you're talking about." Understandably, Peter felt defeated. But did Jesus hold this defeat against him? No. In fact, he made sure his angel messenger specifically mentioned Peter by name, just in case he was under the impression that he was no longer included in the number of disciples. "Well, I'm out. I mean, I said, I don't even know him. I'm going back to fishing. There's no way that he's got any plan for my life moving forward." But no, tell the disciples and Peter. Three times Peter denies Christ, and three times Jesus reinstates Peter by having him verbally confirm his love. It doesn't matter how many times we've failed. It doesn't matter how defeated we feel. Jesus always has a plan to reinstate us and to bring us back into a state of victory with him. He and he alone can make the promise and keep the promise that he'll work everything together for the good of those that love him. There's an old story of a Polish concert pianist named Paderewski. And he was performing in this big concert hall, and this mother brought her 9-year-old son to get him excited about piano lessons to this concert. And the boy broke away from his mum and made his way up on the stage, walked across the stage right in front of this great big concert hall and the great big crowd that had gathered for Paderewski's concert. And the crowd gasps, and the boy sits down on the piano bench in front of everybody and starts playing Chopsticks. And everybody's wondering, what is Paderewski going to do? How is he going to respond with this boy wrecking his concert? And out comes this Polish pianist. And instead of getting mad and rousing on the kid, he walks up to the piano, both arms around the boy, and starts to play this incredible improvised accompaniment to Chopsticks. And the story goes that as Paderewski played, he whispered in the kid's ear, "You're doing great. Just keep going. Just keep going." even in our apparent failures, even in the foolish things that we've done that would perhaps make the crowd gasp. Jesus wants to wrap his arms around us and through the intervention of his Spirit wants to turn our clumsy chopstick key bashing into something beautiful. We're in the hands of the maestro. We're in the hands of the sovereign God. We're in the hands who's able to work it all together for the good of those that love him. He shows up in our life not to condemn us, but to wrap his arms around us. That's what Peter discovered, and that's what we can experience from God in this place this morning. Because of Christ's resurrection, we can come back from defeat. Onward to Luke's gospel. And Luke wrote a sequel to his gospel called the Acts of the Apostles. And in it, he said, after his suffering, he, Jesus, presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. After Jesus' suffering, he gave what? Many convincing proofs. That's actually just one Greek word, tekmeriosis, which means legally admissible evidence. Here's what Luke recorded about Jesus. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Why do doubts rise in your mind? We live in a world that's plagued with doubt. Isn't that the truth, friend? A world that's plagued with unbelief. Have you ever wished that sometimes, like doubting Thomas, you could see for yourself the physical evidence of Jesus' resurrection? Well, I reckon you actually can. The Shroud of Turin is the most studied object in human history. Pastor Amber was sharing earlier about how Jesus neatly folded up his burial clothes. Why would he go to that much attention to detail? Literally hundreds of thousands of hours of study have been poured into this artifact. It dates back to the time of Christ and has imprinted upon it the image of a crucified man with wounds to the exact specification that the gospel writers describe. This artifact is still considered one of the greatest mysteries of our time because thousands of years before photocopying technology was ever invented, the only plausible way that this image could have been imprinted within the shroud was if there was a brilliant burst of UV light pouring out from the body of the man in this tunic in order to have the details of that imprint put upon the shroud, an imprint that we've discovered 2,000 years later through computer technology that actually has 3D depth encoding within it, meaning that as technology improves, we will get an increasingly clearer image of the man in the shroud. A man I'm convinced is none other than Christ. And I'm in good company this morning, quoting Pope John Paul VI's statement that the shroud is the wonderful document of his passion, death, and resurrection written for us in letters of blood. Yes, that just happened. A Pentecostal pastor quoted a Catholic pope. I'm telling you, miracles are possible in the house today. Author Antonio Casanelli argues that the shroud is a deliberate divine record of the five stages of the passion of the Christ created at the moment of the resurrection. Like the disciples of old, we are encouraged that we can come back from doubt. We can tear down the arguments that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can read books like Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ and become informed with historical facts that show us that this was not just some myth. This was something that was absolutely proven, historical, extraordinary records of transformation. There's never been a man like him. The Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He died, he was buried, and he came back from the grave. And that shows us that we too, like Thomas, can come back from doubt. And finally today, Jesus' gospel records are these words. John chapter 11, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" In other words, Jesus was saying that if we are connected with him because he rose, we too will rise. Because he lives forever, we too can live forever if we are connected to him. In Christ, we can come back from death. Now, I want you to ask yourself here this morning. Again, we're wanting to personalize the power of the resurrection. Just do inventory in your own life for a moment. What is the most impossible situation that you are currently facing? What dream was once alive that now is lying in the tomb of impossibility? What do you feel as though hell has advanced against and has killed that was a part of your destiny and now posted the guards of unbelief over our dead heart to try to keep that dream from ever surfacing again? What is in the grave of our life today? What looks hopeless? What looks finished? What looks impossible? And now that you visualize that thing, I want you to compare that problem or that impossibility with the crucified corpse of the Son of God, who had a Roman spear thrust through his side, flailed his back, beard torn from his face, crown of thorns pressed into his skull. I'm not wanting to in any way belittle the size of our problem today. I'm not trying to be uncaring or uncompassionate towards what you may be facing. But what I do want to do is to provide some context. I want to provide a backdrop against which your problem has been painted. I'm trying to help us to see that there was no darkness darker than the inky blackness of death that surrounded the corpse of the Son of God, and yet he is risen. And if God could do that comeback, then how much more can God handle whatever you may have lying on the mortuary stone of impossibility this morning? The resurrected King is resurrecting us. We can come back from death. Christ reversed the curse. Christ confronted the hosts of hell and reclaimed the keys of death and Hades. Christ is the risen one who has beaten the obstacle of death and now fills you and I with the same power. Can I suggest this morning and try to stir your faith a bit that maybe your healing is closer than you think? Maybe your breakthrough is closer than you think today. Maybe your miracle is closer than you think. Maybe the dream that we've let die, that's stuck behind the stone of unbelief, guarded by the soldiers of doubt, is meant to live again just as Christ lives again. Because of his resurrection, we can come back from death. God wants us to know today, friends, because of Christ's resurrection power, we can come back from despair, we can come back from defeat, we can come back from doubt, and we can come back even from death. Darkness never has the final say over your life, because the light has dawned and his name is Jesus. Today, in the closing moments of this Experience Easter service, I want to encourage us to personalize Christ's resurrection power. I want to encourage each of us in this place today. The scriptures promise we can be born again. We can experience Easter. God's resurrection power can fill our life and our heart and make us a brand new creation in Christ. So I want to lead us in a prayer, and I want to invite you to personalize this moment to receive your miracle of personal resurrection comeback in this place today. Can we pray?
Thank you for joining us at Empower Church. We're committed to seeing you discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill your destiny. To find out more about who we are and how you can get involved, please head over to empowerchurch.com.au or like us on our Facebook page. We can't wait to hear from you.